Blog Talk Radio.
Surah 18, Al-Kahf, The Cave.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Nur Allah Islamic Center, Juma Online for the first half hour. For the first 25 minutes, we will be playing Surah 18 of the Quran, following the tradition of our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. In about 5 minutes to 2, we will have the first adhan and the second adhan at 2 o'clock and begin the Kubar. So from now until almost 2 o'clock, we will be listening to Surah 18 of the Quran. Again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jumma mubarak.
Surah 18, Al-Kahf, The Cave. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Most Compassionate. Praise be to Allah, who has revealed to His servant the book devoid of all crookedness, an unerringly straight book meant to warn of a stern punishment from Allah and to proclaim to those who believe and work righteous deeds the tiding that there shall be a good reward, wherein they shall abide forever, and also to warn those who say Allah has taken to Himself a son, a thing about which they have no knowledge, neither they nor their ancestors. Dreadful is the word that comes out of their mouths. What they utter is merely a lie. O Muhammad, if they do not believe in this message, you will perhaps torment yourself to death with grief, sorrowing over them. Surely, we have made all that is on the earth an embellishment for it in order to test people as to whom of them is better in conduct. In the ultimate, we shall reduce all that is on the earth to a barren plain. Do you think that the people of the cave and the inscription were one of our wondrous signs? When those youths sought refuge in the cave and said, Our Lord, grant us mercy from yourself and provide for us rectitude in our affairs. We lulled them to sleep in that cave for a number of years, and then roused them so that we might see which of the two parties could best tell the length of their stay. We narrate to you their true story. They were a party of young men who had faith in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance and strengthened their hearts when they stood up and proclaimed, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We shall call upon no other God beside Him, for if we did so, we shall be uttering a blasphemy. Then they conferred among themselves and said, These men, our own people, have taken others as gods beside Him. Why do they not bring any clear evidence that they indeed are gods? Who can be more unjust than he who foists a lie on Allah? And now that you have disassociated yourselves from them and from whatever they worship beside Allah, go and seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will extend His mercy to you and will provide for you the means for the disposal of your affairs. Had you seen them in the cave, it would have appeared to you that when the sun rose, it moved away from their cave to the right, and when it set, it turned away from them to the left while they remained in a spacious hollow in the cave. This is one of the signs of Allah. Whomsoever Allah guides, He alone is led aright, and whomsoever Allah lets go astray, you will find for Him no guardian to direct him. On seeing them, you would fancy them to be awake, though they were asleep, and we caused them to turn their sides to their right and to their left, and their dog sat stretching out its forelegs on the threshold of the cave. Had you looked upon them, you would have certainly fled away from them, their sight filling you with terror. Likewise, we roused them in a miraculous way, that they might question one another. One of them asked, How long did you remain in this state? The other said, We remained so for a day or part of a day. Then they said, Your Lord knows better how long we remain in this state. Now send one of you to the city with this coin of yours, and let him see who has the best food, and let him buy some provisions from there. Let him be cautious and not inform anyone of our whereabouts. For if they should come upon us, they will stone us to death or force us to revert to their faith, whereafter we shall never prosper. Thus did we make their case known to the people of the city, so that they might know that Allah's promise is true, and that there is absolutely no doubt that the hour will come to pass. But instead of giving thought to this, they disputed with one another concerning the people of the cave, some saying, Build a wall over them. Their Lord alone knows best about them. But those who prevailed over their affairs said, We shall build a place of worship over them. Some will say concerning them, There were three, and their dog the fourth. And some will say, There were five, and their dog the sixth. All this being merely guesswork. And still others will say, There were seven, and their dog the eighth. Say, My Lord knows their number best. Only a few know their correct number. so do not dispute concerning their number, but stick to what is evident and do not question anyone about them. And never say about anything, "I shall certainly do this tomorrow," unless Allah should will it, and should you forget and make such a statement, remember your Lord and say, "I expect my Lord to guide me to what is nearer to rectitude than this." They remained in the cave for 300 years, and others added 9 more years. Say, Allah knows best how long they remained in it, for only He knows all that is hidden in the heavens and the earth, how well He sees, how well He hears. The creatures have no other guardian than Him. He allows none to share His authority. O Prophet, recite to them from the book of your Lord what has been revealed to you, for none may change His words, and were you to make any change in His words, you will find no refuge from Him. Keep yourself content with those who call upon their Lord, morning and evening, seeking His pleasure, and do not let your eyes pass beyond them. Do you seek the pomp and glitter of the world? Do not follow him whose heart we have caused to be heedless of our remembrance, and who follows his desires, and whose attitude is of excess. And proclaim, "This is the truth from your Lord. Now let him who will believe, and let him who will disbelieve. We have prepared a fire for the wrongdoers, whose billowing folds encompass them. If they ask for water, they will be served with a drink like dregs of oil that will scald their faces. How dreadful a drink, and how evil an abode. As for those who believe and do good, we shall not cause their reward to be lost. They shall dwell in the gardens of eternity, beneath which streams flow. There they will be adorned with bracelets of gold, will be arrayed in green garments of silk and rich brocade, and will recline on raised couches. How excellent is their reward, and how nice their resting place. O Muhammad, propound a parable to them. There were two men, of whom we bestowed upon one of the two vineyards, surrounding both of them with date palms and putting a tillage in between. Both the vineyards yielded abundant produce without failure, and we caused a stream to flow in their midst. So the owner had fruit in abundance, and he said to his neighbor, while conversing with him, "I have greater wealth than you, and I am stronger than you in numbers." Then he entered his vineyard and said, wronging himself, "Surely I do not believe that all this will ever perish, nor do I believe that the hour of resurrection will ever come to pass, and even if I am returned to my Lord, I shall find a better place than this." While conversing with him, his neighbor exclaimed, "Do you deny him who created you out of dust, then out of a drop of sperm, and then fashioned you into a complete man? As for myself, Allah alone is my Lord, and I associate none with my Lord in his divinity. Then out of a drop of sperm, and then fashioned you into a complete man? As for myself, Allah alone is my Lord, and I associate none with my Lord in his divinity. When you entered your vineyard, why did you not say, 'Whatever Allah wills shall come to pass, for there is no power save with Allah,' if you find me less than yourself in wealth and children? It may well be that my Lord will give me something better than your vineyard, and send a calamity upon your vineyard from the heavens, and it will be reduced to a barren waste.
أَوْ يُصْبِحَ مَاؤُهَا غَوْرًا فَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا.
Or the water of your vineyard will be drained deep into the ground so that you will not be able to seek it out. Eventually, all his produce was destroyed, and he began to wring his hands in sorrow at the loss of what he had spent on it, and on seeing it fallen down upon its trellises, saying, "Would I had not associated anyone with my Lord in his divinity." And there was no host beside Allah to help him, nor could he be of any help to himself. Then he knew that all power of protection rests with Allah, the True One. He is the best to reward, the best to determine the end of things. O Prophet, propound to them the parable of the present life. It is like the vegetation of the earth, which flourished luxuriantly when it mingled with the water that we sent down from the sky. But after that, the same vegetation turned into stubble, which the winds blew out. Allah alone has the power over all things. Wealth and children are an adornment of the life of the world, but the deeds of lasting righteousness are the best in the sight of your Lord in reward, and far better a source of hope. Bear in mind the day when we shall set the mountains in motion, and you will find the earth void and bare. On that day, we shall muster all men together, leaving none of them behind. They shall be brought before your Lord, all lined up, and shall be told, "Now indeed you have come before us in the manner we created you in the first instance. although you thought that we shall not appoint a tryst with us. And then the record of their deeds shall be placed before them, and you will see the guilty full of fear for what it contains, and will say, Woe to us! What a record this is! It leaves nothing, big or small, but encompasses it. They will find their deeds confronting them. Your Lord wrongs no one. And recall when we said to the angels, Prostrate yourselves before Adam. All of them fell prostrate, except Iblis. He was of the jinn, and so disobeyed the command of his Lord. Will you, then, take him and his progeny as your guardians, rather than me, although they are your open enemies? What an evil substitute are these wrongdoers taking! I did not call them to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor in their own creation. I do not seek the aid of those who lead people astray. What will such people do on the day when the Lord will say, Now call upon all those whom you believe to be my partners? Thereupon they will call upon them, but they will not respond to their call, and we shall make them a common pit of doom. And the guilty shall behold the fire, and know that they are bound to fall into it, and will find no escape from it. And surely, we have explained matters to people in the Quran in diverse ways, using all manners of parables, but man is exceedingly contentious. What is it that prevented mankind from believing when the guidance came to them, and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, except that they would like to be treated as the nations of yore, or that they would like to see the scourge come upon them face to face? We raise messengers only to give good news and to warn, but the unbelievers resort to falsehood in order to rebut the truth with it, and scoff at my revelations and my warnings. Who is more wicked than the man who, when he is reminded by the revelations of his Lord, turns away from them and forgets the consequence of the deeds wrought by his own hands? We have laid veils over their hearts, lest they understand the message of the Quran, and we have caused heaviness in their ears. Call them as you may to the right path, they will not be ever guided aright. Your Lord is all-forgiving, full of mercy. Had He wished to take them to task for their doings, He would have hastened in sending His scourge upon them, but He has set for them a time limit which they cannot evade. All the townships afflicted with scourge are before your eyes. When they committed wrong, we destroyed them. For the destruction of each, we had set a definite term. And recount to them the story of Moses, when Moses said to his servant, I will journey on until I reach the point where the two rivers meet, though I may march on for ages. But when they reached the point where the two rivers meet, they forgot their fish, and it took its way into the sea, as if through a tunnel. When they had journeyed further on, Moses said to his servant, Bring us our repast. We are surely fatigued by today's journey. The servant said, Did you see what happened? When we betook ourselves to the rock to take rest, I forgot the fish, and it is only Satan who caused me to forget to mention it to you, so that it made its way into the sea in a strange manner. Moses said, That is what we were looking for. So the two turned back, retracing their footsteps. And there they found one of our servants upon whom we had bestowed our mercy, and to whom we had imparted a special knowledge from ourselves. Moses said to him, May I follow you, that you may teach me something of the wisdom which you have been taught? He answered, You will surely not be able to bear with me. For how can you patiently bear with something you cannot encompass in your knowledge? Moses replied, You shall find me, if Allah wills, patient, and I shall not disobey you in anything. He said, Well, if you follow me, do not ask me concerning anything until I myself mention it to you. Then the two went forth until, when they embarked on the boat, he made a hole in it, whereupon Moses exclaimed, Have you made a hole in it so as to drown the people in the boat? You have certainly done an awful thing. He replied, Did I not tell you that you will not be able to patiently bear with me? Moses said, Do not take me to task at my forgetfulness, and do not be hard on me. Then the two went forth until they met a lad whom he slew, whereupon Moses exclaimed, What? Have you slain an innocent person without his having slain anyone? Surely you have done an horrible thing. He said, Did I not tell you that you will not be able to patiently bear with me? Moses said, Keep me no more in your company if I question you concerning anything after this. You will then be fully justified. Then the two went forth until when they came to a town, they asked its people for food, but they refused to play host to them. They found in that town a wall that was on the verge of tumbling down, and he buttressed it, whereupon Moses said, If you had wished, you could have received payment for it. He said, This brings me and you to a parting of ways. Now I shall explain to you the true meaning of things about which you could not remain patient. As for the boat, it belonged to some poor people who worked on the river, and I desired to damage it, for beyond them lay the dominion of a king who was wont to seize every boat by force. As for the lad, his parents were people of faith, and we feared lest he should plague them with transgression and disbelief. And we desired that their Lord should grant them another in his place, a son more upright and more tender-hearted. As for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the city, and under it there was a treasure that belonged to them. Their father was a righteous man, and your Lord intended that they should come of age and then bring forth their treasure as a mercy from your Lord. I did not do this of my own bidding. This is the true meaning of things, with which you could not keep your patience. O Muhammad, they ask you about Dhulqarnain. Say, I will give you an account of him. We granted him power in the land and endowed him with all kinds of resources. He set out westwards on an expedition, until when he reached the very limits where the sun sets, he saw it setting in dark, turbid waters, and nearby he met a people. We said, O Dhulqarnain, you have the power to punish or to treat them with kindness. He said, we will chastise him who does wrong, whereafter he will be returned to his Lord, and he will chastise him grievously. But as for him who believes and acts righteously, his will be a goodly reward, and we shall enjoin upon him only mild commands. Then he set out on another expedition, until he reached the limit where the sun rises, and he found it rising on a people whom we had provided no shelter from it. Thus was the state of those people, and we encompassed in knowledge all concerning Dhulqarnain. Then he set out on another expedition, until when he reached a place between the two mountains, he found beside the mountains a people who scarcely understood anything. They said, O Dhulqarnain, Gog and Magog are spreading corruption in this land. So shall we pay you taxes on the understanding that you will set up a barrier between us and them? He answered, whatever my Lord has granted me is good enough, but help me with your labor, and I will erect a rampart between you and them. Bring me ingots of iron. Then, after he had filled up the space between the two mountainsides, he said, light a fire and ply bellows. When he had made it red like fire, he said, bring me molten copper, which I may pour on it. Such was the rampart that Gog and Magog could not scale, nor could they pierce it. Dhulqarnain said, this is a mercy from my Lord. But when the time of my Lord's promise shall come, he will level the rampart with the ground. My Lord's promise always comes true. And on that day, we shall let some of them surge like waves against others, and the trumpet shall be blown. Then we shall gather them all together. That will be the day when we shall place hell before the unbelievers, whose eyes had become blind against my admonition, and who were utterly disinclined to hear it. Do the unbelievers then believe that they can take any of my creatures as their guardians beside me? Verily, we have prepared hell to welcome the unbelievers. Say, O Muhammad, shall we tell you who will be the greatest losers in respect of their works? It will be those whose effort went astray in the life of the world and who believe nevertheless that they are doing good. Those are the ones who refuse to believe in the revelations of their Lord and that they are bound to meet Him. Hence, all their deeds have come to naught, and we shall assign no weight to them on the day of resurrection. Hell is their recompense for disbelieving, and they're taking my revelations and my messengers as objects of jest. As for those who believe and do good works, the gardens of paradise shall be there to welcome them. There they will abide forever, with no desire to be removed from there. Say, if the sea were to become ink to record the words of my Lord, indeed the sea would be all used up before the words of my Lord are exhausted, and it would be the same even if we were to bring an equal amount of ink. Say, O Muhammad, I am no more than a human being like you, one to whom revelation is made. Your Lord is the one and only God. Hence, whoever looks forward to meet his Lord, let him do righteous works, and let him associate none with the worship of his Lord.
Alhamdulillah, you are beloved in me. Allah has spoken. Allah has spoken to my truth. I'm going to go ahead. Brother Khalil, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Now.
Yeah, we go ahead and have the first call now. We come back right at 2 o'clock and do the second call, please.
Yes, sir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. حي على سلام، حي على سلام، حي على سلام، حي على سلام. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، الله
لا إله إلا الله. Alhamdulillah. So we come back right at 2 o'clock. And we will have a second call, inshallah.
Yes,
sir. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا.
Praise be to Allah, who hath revealed the scripture unto his slave and hath not placed therein any crookedness.
قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا.
But hath made it straight to give warning of stern punishment from him and to bring unto the believers who do good works the news that theirs will be a fair reward.
ماكثين فيه أبدا.
Wherein they will abide forever.
وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا.
And to warn those who say, Allah hath chosen a son.
ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا.
A thing whereof they have no knowledge, nor had their fathers. Dreadful is the word that cometh out of their mouths. They speak naught but a lie.
فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا.
Yet it may be, if they believe not in this statement, that thou, Muhammad, wilt torment thy soul with grief over their footsteps.
إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Lo, we have placed all that is in the earth as an ornament thereof, that we may try them, which of them is best in conduct. And lo, we shall make all that is therein a barren mound.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا.
Or deemest thou that the people of the cave and the inscription are a wonder among our portents?
إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا.
When the young men fled for refuge to the cave and said, Our Lord, give us mercy from thy presence and shape for us right conduct in our plight. Then we sealed up their hearing in the cave for a number of years. And afterward we raised them up that we might know which of the two parties would best calculate the time that they had tarried.
نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى.
We narrate unto thee their story with truth. Lo, they were young men who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance.
وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا.
And we made firm their hearts when they stood forth and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We cry unto no God beside him, for then should we utter an enormity.
هؤلاء قومنا اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا.
These our people have chosen other gods beside him, though they bring no clear warrant vouchsafed to them. And who doth greater wrong than he who inventeth a lie concerning Allah?
وَإِذْ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا.
And when ye withdraw from them and that which they worship except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will spread for you of His mercy and will prepare for you a pillow in your plight.
وترى الشمس إذا طلعت تزاور عن كهفهم ذات اليمين وإذا غربت تقرضهم ذات الشمال وهم في فجوة من ذلك من آيات الله من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا.
And thou mightest have seen the sun when it rose move away from their cave to the right, and when it set, go past them on the left, and they were in the cleft thereof. That was one of the portents of Allah. He whom Allah guideth, he indeed is led aright, and he whom he sendeth astray, for him thou wilt not find a guiding friend.
وتحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال وكلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوصيد لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا.
And thou wouldst have deemed them waking, though they were asleep, and we caused them to turn over to the right and the left, and their dog stretching out his paws on the threshold. If thou hadst observed them closely, thou hadst assuredly turned away from them in flight, and hadst been filled with awe of them.
وكذلك بعثناهم ليتساءلوا بينهم قال قائل منهم كم لبثتم قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فبعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا.
And in like manner we awakened them that they might question one another. A speaker from among them said, How long have ye tarried? They said, We have tarried a day or some part of a day.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Khalil, can you make the second call, please?
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على السلام الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له نشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحابه وإجمعين أما بعد الحمد لله we bear witness that there is no God but Allah and there is nothing like unto him whatsoever. Even the masculine word of him is insufficient. But due to every grammar, we will say he or him. But we bear witness that there is no God except Allah, the one and only eternal absolute. And there is nothing comparable like unto him in any form or fashion or thought or imagination. Allah is he that is above all, and we submit our whole self to do his will and to him alone. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the present peace of God be upon him, is his slave servant and messenger, the Kataba Nabi. He is the seal, the completion of the prophets, and he is the messenger of Allah that Allah has sent to us to deliver a sacred and special message. We pray peace be upon us all, upon our families, and upon the righteous. Ameen. We are told here in the Quran, the Surah 33, Ayat 70. Allah tells us here, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa qulul qawlan sadida. And that is the Yusuf Ali translation reads, O you who believe, fear Allah. We don't like to use the word fear. He has the word fear for the taku or for taqwa, for taku. And so we don't use that word fear. We use the word reverence. So I'm going to read it again. I'm going to alter the Yusuf Ali translation and not say fear. I'm going to say reverence. So it reads again, O you who believe, reverence Allah and always say a word directed to the right. Qawlan sadidan. Sadidan is saying right. It means direct, not beating around the bush, not with ambiguity or with double meanings, no hidden meanings. That's a word that's became a phrase that's became popular in our society, more so during this campaign. They used the phrase dog whistle, dog whistle. And they use that word as to where someone is saying one thing, but like a dog whistle, like a real physical dog whistle, if you blow it, the human being cannot hear it because our ears cannot pick up on the decibels. But a dog will, his ears will perk up because his ability to hear at a higher decibel will allow the dog to detect the whistle, and therefore it'll go over our head. We go on about our business and even not even know the whistle's been blown, but the dog whistle will get the dog's ear. Now, they use that phrase in society mainly for those people who are racist, the segregationists, to where someone will say a certain word, the common phrase, I'm not trying to make it political, but the common phrase is, we have to protect our suburbs. Now, to us, we may think, oh, they just want to have nice trees and nice homes and all that. But what to the racists, they're saying, oh, we got to keep the black folks out. We have to protect our suburbs from a certain sector of people. So a dog whistle is where they will say a word, and to you it may mean one thing, but to those who are alert or those who have been taught, they say, oh, that's a secret code. So when verse in the Quran where Allah is telling us don't do that, we don't have words of ambiguous meaning or hidden double meanings. And I say hidden double meanings because everything in the Quran has levels of meaning. But they are not hidden or preserved only for a sacred, a certain secret group. But the words in the Quran for every human being, every human being, and therefore everybody ever born. So Allah tells us here, O you who believe, reverence Allah and speak waqulu and speak, call in a word, sadidan. A word that is direct, that is clear, no ambiguity, no double meanings, no dog whistles. And we also know when we really listen to, and in order to really listen to and to fully understand the person, you have to know that the one that's speaking, you have to know their mental and spiritual makeup. Peace is Jesus. Get rid of this here. Sorry about that. So I'm just leave the phone off the hook for a while. Okay. So, again, when you are listening to a person, in order to fully understand that person, very often we have to know something about their mental and spiritual composition. The one that's speaking, we should know not just what they are saying, but we should know a little bit about their character as well. What is their makeup and who made them up? In other words, they may be a tool being used by somebody else to send a message to society. So we have to be very mindful of when we are listening to someone, you should know a little bit about their character, about their makeup. But in order to know what a person really means when they speak, we must know more than just the words coming from their mouth. And the same is true for religion. We have different religions. We have different religious teachers. It's good to know something about the person that's teaching you the religion. You should know something about their character. And the big one is the person leading you in Salat. You just don't follow anybody in Salat and their character don't measure up to what Al-Islam calls for. You have to know something about the person, their character, their mental and spiritual composition, and their makeup. And so it really helps us to know something about the makeup of people and their thinking. Now, we're going to do some comparison here, inshallah, because, you know, in religion have certain phrases. And we, many of us are converts. We're coming from a background other than Islam, by and large, Christianity direct or for sure the influences of living in the Christian society. So we have terms and words in our mind. Though we have become Muslim, we still may be carrying the definition or the expression from a non-Muslim experience, because we have not studied the word into its depth, or looked into the word or its phrase into its depth to realize, okay, what does it say on the surface? What do it mean when you dig into it in English in the Christian thinking? And likewise, when we hear that same phrase or same word in Islam, have we transferred our thinking to Islamic thinking more than the Christian thinking? We have to say this because we came from Christian thinking. And the dominant influence in the society is Western, or they say Christian, thinking. Not saying that it's bad, not saying that it's wrong, but we have to have understanding of what is the composition, where did it come from, who's speaking, who taught them, the one that's speaking, who taught them, to get a better grasp upon what they are saying so that we can now look at what we want to get from it. I'm going to use a phrase here that we have that is a common Christian saying. And the phrase is, "Our Father who art in heaven." Now, when Christians say that phrase, they are thinking of the Creator, who is being depicted as a father, right? Our Father who art in heaven. Now, most Muslims know this very popular surah from the Quran, where it says, "Lam yalid wa lam yulad," meaning God is not a father, and God never had a father. God never had a baby. God never was a baby. So most Muslims, when they hear "our Father who art in heaven," most Muslims are going to say, "Father in heaven." And most Muslims are not going to accept that. They're going to reject that concept totally, because we don't believe in the idea of God being Father. But now, as a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and following what he has expressed to us over the years, that we can hear and think, well, when we hear "our Father who art in heaven," we can make that Father not singular, but plural. Our fathers. Which fathers in heaven? The Father Adam and the Father Abraham, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Are you following me now? Our Father who art in heaven. Didn't Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, did he ascend to the seven heavens? When his Father in heaven? Two fathers, his Father is in heaven, Abraham and Adam. So if we hear a Christian say, "Our Father who art in heaven," Muslims who understand Imam Muhammad's logic can say, "Yeah, we got two of them up there. We got Adam, and we got Abraham. And six brothers." Isn't that how it goes now? Because Prophet Muhammad, the peace be upon him, he ascended to the seven heavens and met the eight prophets and then led them in prayer. And altogether, it was nine, counting the prophet. Maybe that's why they got nine judges on the Supreme Court. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. So we can hear that phrase. And as students of Imam Muhammad, we can be solidly grounded in the Quran, in our thinking, and hear "our fathers who are in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You know, hallowed means holy or sacred. So we don't look at Adam as being condemned or Abraham as being condemned. Not in Islam. The names are holy. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom done on earth as it is in heaven. So when Prophet Muhammad came from heaven, from the seven heavens, he came down and he went to Medina and he established God's kingdom here on earth. And to this day, for any and all Muslim society in the world, we look to Medina as our model, the Medina set up by Prophet Muhammad, called Medina and Namara, the city of lights. Medina, the city of lights. So as Muslims, I'm saying this because we have to be transparent and share our true understanding. If we have an understanding, though it may be a Christian phrase or or a Christian saying, and we not to come to them and be smiling in their face and try to interpret it and say, well, the children of God. I heard Muslims say that, trying to go along and be nice with the Christians. No, we don't do that. That's not being Sadiqan. Sadiqan means what? To be direct, to be truthful, to be open, to be transparent, as we share our true understandings. Prophet Muhammad, the Blessed and Peace be upon him, says for everything in the Quran, there is an explicit, which means obvious, understanding, and also an implicit or internal understandings that we have to dig for. So, as students of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and knowing the language or the body of knowledge he has given to us, we got to do at least three things. There may be more. I'm just going to share three. As students now, I'm speaking to the students of Imam Muhammad. We have to do at least three things. We must catalog all that Allah gave us or blessed us with through the mind and the soul of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Again, I'm speaking to his students. We must establish our community life upon the language of Imam Muhammad because what he gave us was a special, customized, ordered message that is based upon the Quran and the life exemplified by Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. A body of knowledge specific for our community needs, our community aspirations, and our community reparations. As we said before, reparations means to repair. And just a little side note, quit waiting on the enemy who destroyed you to give you reparations. Quit asking them for reparations. Instead, ask Allah for reparations. Two of his attributes, El Mu'id and El Muhyi. It means the reproducer. Allah is the reproducer, El Mu'id. And Allah is the restorer, El Muhyi. He is the one that restores us. So if we want reparations in the best form, quit asking the one that has denied us and ask Allah. And the third thing we must do as students of Imam Muhammad, we must share with the world our blessed understandings without giving them control over the knowledge or over our lives. With many of them never suffering the residue of slavery, they are in a better position to take the benefit from the knowledge than we are. It's important for us to understand that what we have been given, Imam Muhammad, other people who are not suffering from the residue of slavery, we take that same knowledge and go further with it. And if we're not careful, they try to use it to control us. They already underestimate us. They underestimate our religious thinking ability. But still, it's not our knowledge to keep and hold to ourselves or for ourselves. Still, we have to share with those the knowledge. We can share it through comparative studies. But we do it in the daylight, at high noon. You know, high noon is when everybody's woke. Everyone's asleep. So we have to do it in high noon. Share this knowledge with the world and not do it under the cover of darkness. Dearly beloved believers, we have been blessed, especially when we look at where we come from. We are only a couple of days removed from physical chattel slavery. Only a few days. And only a few minutes removed from mental and spiritual slavery. When you look at the eons and the thousands, some say millions of years of time, we are only a few days removed from physical slavery and only a few minutes removed from mental and spiritual slavery. I can look at my personal self. me, I am only three generations removed from slavery. That's like the distance between my father, Oliver, and my grandchildren. That's how close I am to slavery. From my father, who's, he's still living, turned 91 last week, and my grandchildren, that's the distance between me and physical slavery. So we're not that far removed from it, and we still see the negative effects of it damaging our community every day. So we have been given a lot in a very short time period, and that is a special blessing to have received what we have in such a short time span. So we should quit looking at self and only seeing the person in the mirror. And we should begin seeing the self as the community of self. Don't think I, my, me, and put your personal name on it. If it's I, my, me, that's a we. It's a us. We have to begin looking at community life. So we have a special language given to us. I'm Allah. We have a special language given to us from Allah through the mind, the intellect of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. But it is a language anchored in the bedrock of Al-Quran and the Uswa, not the Sunnah, I didn't say the Sunnah, but the Uswa of Prophet Muhammad. You know, we've been taught the Quran and the Sunnah, brother, the Quran and the Sunnah. Imam Muhammad said the Uswa. He didn't favor the word Sunnah. He may have used it in expression because he had to speak what people understood. But he taught us as his students, it's the Uswa of the Prophet. Why do we say Uswa of the Prophet and not the Sunnah of the Prophet? Because we cannot find the Sunnah of the Prophet in the Quran. But we can find the Uswa of the Prophet in the Quran. It's in Surah 33:21, and it's in another place as well. But chapter 33 and 21. So there is no mention of the Sunnah of the Prophet in the Quran. There is no Sunnah al-Rasul in the Quran. There's no Sunnah al-Nabi in the Quran. There's no Sunnah al-Nabiwiyah in the Quran. It's not in there. There is no Sunnah of the Prophet, Messenger in the Quran. But you will find in the Quran Sunnatullah, the Sunnah of God, the Sunnah of Allah. It's in there eight times at least. And you will find the Sunnah of this group of people, and some of them were wicked. They had a Sunnah, but you will not find the Sunnah of the Prophet in the Quran. But you will find in the Quran, again, Surah 33:21. It says, Rasulullahi uswatun hasanatun. The word lakat. Lakat is a strong word. We say inna means surely. But lakat is a very strong, emphatic, surely, definitely, no doubt. Very powerful indeed. It's a very powerful expression of indeed. It says, "Laka kana lakum fi rasulillahi hasanatun." You have indeed in the Messenger of Allah a uswatun, a beautiful pattern, hasanatun, an excellent model of conduct. The word uswa from the word asiwa, which means balance. So the excellent model of the Prophet Muhammad is seen from his cradle to the grave. Yes. Seeing his model even before he received revelation. And the Quran says, Muhammad, you have already lived you have already lived a whole lifetime amongst them. That was before revelation. So this Uswa, the Prophet that we're looking at, that we want to study, is the whole life of the Prophet, but in particular, the higher expression of the Prophet in the Quran. Yes, Aisha said he was the Quran walking. So we have been given a new language, meaning what? A meaning, a new or a broader definition of words, a new and broader definition of concepts that expand our thinking. Take, for example, the word jinn. Most Muslims think of jinn as a spirit. However, students of Imam W.D. Muhammad, when we say jinn, we are speaking of the heated emotional or passions in human beings. And these heated emotions or passions in human beings, they must submit to the will of God. Allah says jinn and men will bow to him. So it is saying, jinn is saying that our emotional side, comparative to our mental side, or our sentimental side, compared to our rational side, the jinn is speaking about that emotional side in every human being. It must submit to the will of Allah. So this language, our language, is rich, it is strong, and it is pleasant to the taste buds, meaning it is excellent food for the mind. And just a little side note, you can go visit our newallah.org site. We have a glossary terms using Imam Muhammad's definition. Just go to newallah.org and click on his name. He's here, Arabic glossary drop down. And we're still working to build that as well. But some other terms, just three or four more other terms that we have commonly hear in society, and some of these words have relationships and also the Jewish and the Christian religion. But we're going to say what Imam Muhammad, just briefly, what Imam Muhammad gave us for understanding. You see how this body of knowledge works. Example, Jesus the Christ, best understood as being a word from Allah, a body of knowledge. Another one, Prophet Muhammad, he is the prophet of revelation. The prophet of revelation. All other prophets of development, but it was Muhammad who was completed by revelation. The other prophets were like stair steps leading up to a progression. Leading up to a progression that is developing. You may say evolving, but we're saying developing. But it is with Prophet Muhammad to where the revelation completed. And you read that in Surah 55, where Allah created his man with the Quran. Another expression we hear in Islam and also in Christianity, Virgin Mary. And Imam Muhammad said it is speaking of a community of people who were taught by Allah without the agency or being touched by man or by the intellect of man. It is a virgin community of people who came into received or was entrusted with the word of God without the learned people being the one to teach them. God taught her. And we already mentioned the other two. I want to say Adam. Adam, let's say he's the first man. Okay, that's good, yes. But he's also called father. So Adam, he is the father of our original nature. And Abraham being the father, he is the father of our rational based faith, our ability to use our rational mind to come to conclusions that support our faith. And simultaneously, the faith supports our rational mind. Abraham represents that. That's why he called the father of many, because we're all going to come into that stage of being rational minded. And if we follow the midline all the way to Abraham, then we would come into a practice or a discipline of building our minds to have faith, a rational based faith that we are build our life. So again, Adam is the father of our original nature, but the nature has to be expressed. And when the nature is expressed, it's going to enlighten the mind. And when the mind is enlightened, then our father Abraham comes in and gave us a rational based faith. So these are, there are very many terms that we have that were expanded upon by Imam Muhammad's teachings. And inshallah, we'll continue to find more time to study Yes, we do it on Tuesday nights by telephone. We have a Tuesday night Talib. So, but inshallah, we'll find more time to study, share this blessing, and use it to bring mankind closer and closer to human excellence. Amen. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban. Our Lord, grant us good excellence in this life, in this dunya, and grant us excellence to bigger share in the life to come, and protect us from the torment of the fires of sin. Amen. Dear beloved Muslims, believers, we thank Allah for giving us this life and giving us good and giving us the gratitude to be thankful for the good. And even when the days are not the way we think they should be, still at the end of that day, we can still say, Alhamdulillah, praise be to God. O Allah, bless us, guide us, protect us. Have mercy upon our souls. And rebuild that spirit. Rebuild that spiritual attitude in us. It's a discipline. It's a learning process. We are told from the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet that Allah in his mercy, that for each time that we receive a pain on this side of death, it will alleviate a burden from us on Judgment Day. We do believe in Judgment Day. We get a small picture of Judgment Day on this side of death, but we believe there's a big picture of judgment on the other side of this physical death. And so we seek to prepare our lives to be in the best position that day. It's like doing your homework before the big test. You don't show up for the big test and not have done your homework and think you're going to get a passing grade. And life is the same way. The life Allah has given us is the same way. He has given us all the tools we need. He has given us all the aid we need to pass the test. And one of the biggest tools he has given us is his forgiveness, Allah's forgiveness of our sins. I said Allah is El-Ghafur and El-Ghafar. El-Ghafur and El-Ghafar. One that he can give no matter how big the sin is. Yes, it could be as big as, almost as big as all of the earth and all of the heavens. And Allah will forgive the sin, no matter how big it is. And the other one is saying, no matter how many times we do the same dumb stuff over and over again. But our hearts are right. Our intentions are right, but we're still doing the same sin over and over again. Allah said, no matter how many times that you do this, you turn to him with sincere forgiveness. And no one can judge your heart but you. I mean, but Allah. I'm sorry. Because sometimes we can't even judge our own heart. We'd be so messed up in this world. But it becomes sincere and remain sincere. Oh, I slipped again. But oh, Allah, please forgive me. And we are strongly, we're firmly sincere. We mean it. Allah says he will forgive those sins too. The problem for many of us become when we say, oh, forget it. I just can't. I just don't go and give in. We don't do that. We don't. As believers, we don't do that. You say Allah knows, and we don't know. One of the first things they told me when I became Muslim, that has remained with me all these years. And the brother, he said it. I mean, Allah forgive me for his sin. Brother, his name was Bashir. I can't think of Bashir's. Abu Bakr. Yeah. Bashir Abu Bakr, he's from New York City. And many of you may have known him. He was a cook over at Master Chef Sergeant. And he told me something one day. He just hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, brother, he said, Allah know you better than you know you. And I may have stopped him in my footsteps when we were walking down the street. I said, man, I ain't never thought of that. Allah knows me better than I know me. I said, it should make a whole lot of sense. And it's so true. It's so true. So we turn to Allah. Oh, Allah, guide me. I don't know if Brother Todd Bean was on the line, but he got that prayer He learned about heart. Maybe he could say it for us if he's on later on. Where Imam Muhammad said, "Oh Allah, I cannot manage this life by myself." And then we ask Allah for his help. That's where the shaitan went wrong. Shaitan thought he can manage this by himself. You know how we hear some people say, you try to tell somebody something and they're doing it wrong, and you try to tell them the right way, and they'll look at you and say, "I got this, brother. I got this." You say, "All right, go ahead. You got it." And the truth being, you don't have it, but it has you. And that's what Shaitan's problem was. So we ask Allah to protect us from that kind of spirit, that kind of attitude, that we be humble, we be submissive, and open to his mercies for his forgiveness. So we thank Allah, highly glorified to see him. We thank him for his love, his kindness, his mercy. We thank Allah for his forgiveness, now that he has given us. And we ask Brother Khalil, time, I'm sure I don't have you on mute. So you can call the second call. Brother Khalil, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you go ahead and make the e-commerce conversation.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salat, hayya ala salat. I come to select. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. No way to Ansali. Father, Salatul Jummah. Rakatain lillahi ta'ala. Astaghfirullah Ka'aba. We make our intentions to make two rakats. Friday prayer to Allah, the Exalted, facing the Kaaba.
Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Sirata al-lazina anamta alayhim. غير المكتوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وأهدى يسد أن ملاه أكلدا كلا لا يمزنا فهتما وَمَا أَجْرَكَ وَمَا هُتِمَ نَارُ اللَّهِ مُخْدَعًا الَّتِي تَتَعْرُهُ وَالْأَرْفِدَ إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُصَدًا فِي أَمَّدٍ مُمَهْدَدًا فَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ سمي الله لمحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقذ ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله بنا أتينا في الدنيا حسنات ففي ذلك حسنات وكينا في النار بنا صلاة زي قلوبنا بي أدي فديتنا وحبنا من الدوك الرقمة إنك أتى وحب الحمد لله I'm going to open up everyone's phone line if you hear background noise Put your phone on mute. We're opening the phone lines so that we can join together and say that Fatiha. But if you hear background noise, please put your phone on mute on your end. So I got a few more phone lines here to open up. And we will join together and say that Fatiha. The opening chapter of the Quran. Okay. I'm almost there. Got a few more in my thought. Alhamdulillah. So at this time here, we'll say the Fatiha together. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين الحمد لله السلام عليكم everyone
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله
Walaik As-Salaam.
Alhamdulillah. Hey, do we have any announcements from anyone?
I have a question, Imam. This is Brother Bilal.
Yes, sir, Brother Bilal.
I had an acquaintance in Texas, and they wanted to hear our broadcast, they're an hour before us. Will they start an hour behind or at the same time? They will start at 1, whereas we started 2. Is that how that goes?
Yeah, because they're on Central Time.
So they would have to start at the same time, right?
It'd be the same time, but their clock, by them being in Central Time, it's going to be 1 o'clock for them in Central Time.
Okay, but they would have to start when we start. They can't come in an hour later and expect to get the broadcast.
No, they can't.
Okay.
No, they cannot, because it's a live broadcast. But then what they're saying is, you know, the show's archived, and they can listen to it tomorrow, next week, for if they go, before it's joining us live. It will come out at 1 o'clock their time.
Okay. That's all
yes,
I have.
Thank
no,
you.
No
announcement. Assalamu alaikum. It's Yaqeen Bilal.
Alaikum assalam.
This is from New York City. I just want to say
New York.
Salam to all believers.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Alaikum assalam to Yaqeen Bilal.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, be sure to give the greetings to Emir Ramadan for us.
Yes, sir.
And also to the believers in Queens, New York. Okay. Any other announcements? Brother Tabi, are you on? I for him to read that prayer. Because he knew about heart. And I have it somewhere. I guess I have it before me now. Well, you can join us. We have other gatherings by phone. Tuesday night, Tallinn. That's at 6:30 Eastern time, which would be 5:30, I guess, across Central time. And we have different presenters each week. They present for 15, 20, 25 minutes. And then the rest of the time is question and answers for whatever was discussed. I'm not sure who's up for this Tuesday coming up. I'm not sure if we've chosen anybody. But that's Tuesday at 6:30. And the phone number should get you a chance to write it down. We do try to send the text message out as well. But the phone number for our Tuesday Tallinn is 701-802-5454. And then the access code, once you call in, they're going to ask you for the code, for the access code. And the access code is 1039654 pound. So again, the phone number is 701-802-5454, and the access code is 1039654 pound. You have to push pound at the end of the number. So that's Tuesday at 6:30. Also, on Sunday, we have the Words Made People Blog Talk Radio program. That's Sunday at 1 o'clock. And you would dial the same number that you called in today, the same identical number, Sunday at 1 o'clock. And we're going to have a discussion with Muslims and Focalaria members. And we've been doing this now for over 20-something years. And we're going to speak about the mission that our leader gave us, our two leaders gave us, Kier Lubit as well as Imam Muhammad. We're going to talk about our journey as believers, as Christians, folkloric Christians, and as Muslims. It should be a very, very interesting show. So those all. So that's all I have to share. Any more announcements? Okay, well, we're still making progress over on Menhofer. Anybody who wants to come and help, please do not be shy. There's work to be done, and there's progress has been made. Praise be to Allah. So we're looking for everybody to come and do something. This is my thinking. You don't want to show up when it's ready to go in, when the COVID-19 finally ends, and we're ready to go in, and you go in there and look and say, I didn't do anything. I didn't pick up a nail or a hammer or a paintbrush or a broom. I didn't do anything. You don't want to do that. You want to get up and say, yeah, I did that, or I painted that, or whatever. Just came in with a broom and got it cleaned up. Yeah, we got plenty of yard space. We got work to do. So this is our day. Okay. That's all I could think of. I know I'm forgetting something. I always do. So, okay. I will. We got more than a half hour left. I can find something to play, I guess. I don't know. Or I can, we can all just go. Anybody have any questions? Or anybody have any announcements? I don't want to leave anything out.
I'm sorry, girl. The Carol Allen. Yes. Send me a reminder when you could be over there. I was sick for the last 2 weeks, so feel much better.
Right.
Alhamdulillah. I like to
good.
Come over and do what I can do in the week, this week coming.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I know some of us be there tomorrow. Well, we got the sure meeting tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I may be there tomorrow evening, and maybe part of Sunday as well. But Monday should be the best day, and let your sister she come back tonight, so y'all can get over there at a good time. So. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
I'm in that voice. Yes, ma'am.
Well, if you can't sweep a broom or you can't hit a nail, you can always send some money to buy a broom and buy a nail.
There you go. Now, I like that. Yes. And
well, that's the best I can do.
And, well, that is very much appreciated. And we thank you for it. Yes, ma'am. Alaykum as-salam. So good. You know, this past Wednesday was October 7th, and that was the birthday of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm not sure how old he would have been, but he would have been up there, 125, I guess. I think something like that. But we do want to always recognize and respect him for what he done to get us ready for this day. So we want to be very mindful of that. Oh, tomorrow, I forgot. I may have sent you all the link, but you know, October has been designated as Islamic Heritage Month, the same as February is dedicated to African-American or Black History Month, where October has been dedicated to Muslim or Islamic Heritage Month. And I know in Canada it's been around since 2007 for 13 years, but in the USA it's coming. And I know the mayors of Washington, D.C. and the mayor of maybe it was the mayor of Washington, D.C., and the mayor, I can't even call the other city now, but they can recognize October, and they put me in proclamations recognizing October as Islamic Heritage Month. So we want to get that going here in Indianapolis as well. But it was in Philadelphia, the mayor of Philadelphia. And so tomorrow they're having a program. You can just Google it. Google Islamic Heritage Month. and then we can go from there. And they just told me that I got 90 seconds left. They're going to turn us off. I thought I put in for 2 hours. Okay, so that's it. Inshallah, we see you on Sunday. Call this same number. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.